Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 19. I'm Jack.
I'm ASD.
I'm Jay.
Here we go. So we're going to go straight into it, and we're going to start by talking about our best away days supporting Spurs. Yeah. So ASD, I'll come to you first.
I've got. Can I go for a bit of history?
I've
got four. Five. I want to talk about
four
because the last one I went on was actually with you.
Two.
Well, yeah, but the last one I went on was with you, where we went West Ham. Do you remember that?
Oh God,
we went.
But that's not the best.
No, it's not the best.
That's definitely the worst.
Two of my. But it was a good fun. We went. We went to Neville's bar. Was it in Westfield? Was it Neville? Who was it?
Giggs's bar.
Who's got the bar?
That football place up in Westfield Stratford.
Yeah. But we were in. That was awful. Let's not talk about that. We lost that game 1-0. The last game of the bowling, we were in the home fans. It was awful.
Yeah.
My first was great. That was Chelsea away, but I was going corporate, obviously. And no, but this
water's wet and the sky's blue.
Yeah. But this level, no. I never do corporate at home, but away games you might as well.
Yeah.
Right. And the corporate at Chelsea, for those of you who haven't been, is an amazing meat buffet.
Yeah.
Proper meat buffet. Yeah. But the players all have to walk through where you're eating.
Yeah.
So, literally, they have to walk through it. So all the Spurs players came through, all had headphones on. So that was great. I think I must have been the only Spurs fan there. That was good. Can I read you the team?
Yeah, of course you can.
This was 2011. So we've got Gomez. But then listen to this back line. Speed. Bale, fine. Gallas, Kabul, Dawson, Choluka.
Oh.
Lennon, Van der Vaart, Modric, Sanders, Pav. And then Basson, Rose, Crouch, Defoe, Cucini,
loved that team.
Pienaar. It was great.
At the time, it was our best team ever.
What was the score that day?
2-1. I think Sandro scored.
Oh, Gomez had a howler.
Yeah. What's his name? Lampard scored, I think. And Kalou, I think, might have scored the other one. My second ever game. So we're into my top three games now. I've got top four. My second ever was Tottenham Ultras. So this was before the Fighting Cock did the 1882 event. We had one. The first ever one was against Leighton Orient, and it was amazing. There was loads of us there. It was the first time we'd taken. It was a It was a friendly for the first team, and there was just loads of people who turned up. I think it was free to get in. Like, it was just people were singing. The team that day: Cudicini, Hutton, Rose, Palacios, Walker, Basson, Bentley, Cranchar, Crouch, Keane and Pienaar, with Townsend, Button, Carroll, Kane and Luongo. Amazing. Like, proper
Stephen Pienaar.
Stephen Pienaar, twice.
Atrocious signing.
Luongo.
Luongo, yeah.
Oh my God.
The third one was then Charlton away, a pre-season game or another one of these weird games. We turned up a week early. We literally got to the ground and there was no one there. Don went for a wee. I went to the ground to go and get out to pick up our tickets. And it was just locked, and I went round, and then I looked on the date on my email. Yeah, and I had to just wait there and go, mate, we've gone all the way down Charlton. Yes, we just went.
What did you do?
Full Spurs kit, both of us. Like, I got changed in the office. We went to a Charlton pub, and they just laughed at us when we got smashed.
Yeah,
which I don't.
That
do
is
anymore.
A brilliant story.
So next game.
Turn up at the
next game. Dom's like, I'll meet you at the ground. Didn't turn up.
What Dom did?
Yeah, it was amazing. Then now we're into proper ones. So Swansea, not the one I went to with you, because that was 2-2. That was amazing fun. I loved it being with you.
You went to Swansea away together?
Yeah, we bonded.
In that case.
Well, I've been to Swansea twice. This was the first time. When we went, it was the 2-2.
2-2. Ericsson got two free kicks in the same game.
We did it in under 3 hours, I'm pretty sure, from Letchworth, which I can't do Cardiff in
70
hours.
Tops.
Yeah, 70 tops. We took a lot of shortcuts. But I did Swansea away. But do you remember Vertonghen scored with an amazing 1-2?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. And then Bale scored a 20-yarder. That was
Bale scored an outrageous goal in that game. Did Vertonghen put him in, didn't he?
That's
he
it.
Brought it down and just smashed
it. A bit like Delhi's goal against Chelsea.
Yeah.
I loved that because it was one of my first proper. I was by myself, but it was also Swansea, and being a Cardiff Spurs fan was just everything they hated. Final one, Tottenham at the Underhill. Tottenham. It was the last game, I think. Of
Barnet.
It was at Barnet. They'd played their last ever game at the Underhill.
Ah.
We then played on the Monday night, the last ever game at the Underhill. It was the under 21s, and it was another 1882 event by the Fighting Cock, and we were playing Arsenal. We had come top in the league, and this was like a playoff to go into the next round or whatever it was. We beat them 1-0 and we were singing songs about, what's the fella who looked like Bale? There's only two Gareth Bales. Do you remember?
McAvoy,
Kenny McAvoy. We were singing songs about him, but then his mum and his sister were there, and so it was just a lovely proper like Spurs occasion. So I've been to loads like West Brom and like loads of other away games, but a lot of them are just when it's local London ones, but you just support, like you're part of the crowd. So sorry,
bloody hell!
Good away game.
That is a good history of away games.
Yeah,
mine is nowhere near.
Is it not?
There's two places I go habitually. One is Arsenal. The other is Watford.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, those are the only two really.
Mm. How did you get your Arsenal tickets?
When I worked here.
Right.
Do you remember? I had that little thing going on with them, but. And obviously
not the reason why he no longer works here.
the best of those obviously 2010. The best of those obviously 2010. That lunchtime kickoff, and the thing I remember more vividly than Kabul's winner was actually the Van der Vaart penalty.
And he gifts it, doesn't he, when he scores?
All of that, man. All of that.
What a man! All
of that silence up to the lips, and I just we went mental. I don't actually remember the Kabul. I mean, even when I watch it back, which I did earlier this morning, I didn't remember it. It didn't come back to me. I think I just went blind.
I remember Gallas having an absolute blinder for us in that game.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Gallas is one of our most underrated or misremembered players. Yeah, he did a proper job for us.
Decent for us,
It took me a while to warm to him,
because
he's Chelsea.
And
they don't come from Arsenal or Chelsea anymore. I think those days have gone.
Yeah, I agree.
And the other one was actually at Watford, about this time 3 years ago, when we actually got into the away end. There was just a couple of spare seats next to the family enclosure where we actually were. Got into the away end, right behind the goal, and Lamella puts 1-0 up. They equalised. Ake got sent off for a filthy challenge. If you remember that one,
was the Lamella goal where he's running with the ball, he rolls his foot over it, and didn't hit it hard, but he just does the keeper with his eyes.
Slides.
The keeper doesn't move.
Exactly. But the Son winner on 90 or in injury time, I can't remember. Right in front. It happened so quickly.
Offside.
We were literally in the front row. It wasn't offside, but we were in the front row. We could smell the glass. We could, was. When you're that close to a goal happening, you just don't know what's happened. Apart from
the back,
if you remember the whole team came towards us.
They're in the crowd.
Actually celebrating in that crowd about sort of 20 foot to my left. It was mental. That was mental.
He's about 5 miles. Wow.
He's miles offside.
Yeah. If I was going to use an example of what offside is, I would use that. But who cares?
I couldn't see it from
you. You're more onside in the stand.
Yeah, I'm more onside. That was amazing.
Oh,
those are my two that I remember.
Yeah.
Those are the only away games I ever go to. Yeah. Though. Watford and Arsenal.
I was thinking back to what mine were, and one of my favourite away days was still Stoke. Because that is a proper away day. You know, the home fans there were brilliant. Awful atmosphere. It was what you imagined Stoke to be.
Yeah.
So it was a really grim Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Light rain, overcast, horrific football. Idrigger Johnson was playing up front on his own for Spurs. So it was that kind of game.
Is that the one where he scored?
He scored
his only goal for us.
So nothing happened in the first half. Nothing.
With that light blue turquoise kit. Come on.
And we scored in the second half, because I was there with Mr. L Senior, and I actually turned to him and said, this is 0-0. Like, I really don't see scoring second half. We scored after about 25 seconds in the second half. Good Johnson, we were going mad. Dean Whitehead then got a second yellow and they were down to 10, so we were like, job done. We then gave a penalty away and Matty Everington equalised, so it was 1-1. And then Crenshaw scored a lovely goal with about 8 minutes to go. Yeah. Just gets pulled back to the edge of the box and duels it in the bottom corner.
He did that twice, didn't he? Bolton was the other one?
I was at that one, that away game as well. 2-2 at Bolton.
See, these games I can remember.
Yeah.
This was a brilliant time to be a Spurs fan. We were proper up and coming. Now it's almost too much.
We've arrived.
I don't like it as much. But I mean,
the St Villa Park's one of my favourite away grounds as well.
Yeah, I've been there.
That's back a really great away experience going to Villa.
We nearly went to a game, didn't we, before Christmas?
Which one?
Did we?
Yeah. And we didn't manage to get the loyalty points. We didn't manage to get the tickets because we didn't have enough loyalty points.
You're talking Barcelona?
No.
I did try and get them, but it was just short. We're talking Arsenal.
Yeah. We had probably for the best that we didn't go.
Let's talk about that now before I go through other people's best away day. So we had our Christmas drinks. Massive turnout there was from the Echoes of Glory lot, me, Jan, Stato. We went to the One Ton Pub, which is up by Good Street Station, because we'd been in there before a couple of years ago for the Sheffield United Cup semi-final.
That was great.
And it was a great atmosphere in there, so we thought we'll go back in there, because you know, it was good last time. Packed full of Arsenal fans. What was there? Probably 30, 40 Arsenal. We were the only Spurs in there. And we were not pleasant, shall we say. No. Some more than others.
Stato had enjoyed some libation.
But so you,
that afternoon.
You had booked a table, right? And the tables are underneath the TV, so everyone would have been... I booked,
but when we got in there, it was rammed with loads of Christmas dudes, so we just grabbed a spot under the TV like, it's pointless fighting your way through all of that. We've got this spot here.
I think Stato and I had enjoyed some afternoon libations.
Well, you turned up.
They were both hammered when they turned up, so I was like, this is going to be a brilliant night. But as much as I tried to sort of catch up, they were just on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely on it. There was a funny smell in there, though, weren't there?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you tell everyone about that?
I don't remember anything.
We've been talking about
the only thing I remember was the game. I actually remember quite a lot of the game. But also, Stato was kissing us a lot. Do you remember that? Because he was just, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. And Stato got very offended.
Poor Mrs. Stato.
But the Arsenal fans in there, they were the sort that wouldn't go to games.
Yeah, they were giving it a little bit.
Very sort of clerical. They work in IT sort of Arsenal fans.
Yeah. And so they were stood with their hands on their hips.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I don't remember this, but after the second goal, then obviously we have gone mad and we're giving it. There's one Arsenal fan stood in front of us with his hands on his hips. He cannot believe that they're 2-0 down. So Jay decides to stick his head in the gap between the man's arm and hip, look up at him and say, I think you've shit your pants.
I don't remember that. Sorry, for the pod, I do not remember that at all.
You are
that I don't think I said
of all
that.
Of us, probably the most respectable of all the Echoes of Glory.
You're not one to go out and be mouthy or cause trouble at all. So it was really out of character. We had a great night, though.
It was a great night. It was actually my best night of December.
For some reason, it cleared out that pub after about 87, 88. All of a sudden, we had loads of room around us. It was quite nice.
What a game, though.
That Dele goal. So there's a YouTube video going around. Sorry, I know we're not talking about it. With the top 20 goals from last season. And that Dele goal is 14th on the top 20 goals of last season. And I don't agree with Wanyama being first on that.
Of last year.
And
it's an outrageous finish. It's real,
decadent that touch.
Like, it's the run and the touch. So it's a Dele Alli goal, isn't it? Yeah, Making that run, and the ball from Kane was just.
Do you remember Liverpool in Istanbul? I think the third goal. Who scored the third goal? There was a player who scored two goals. He's on one on one and he dinks it. He dinks it without lifting his foot. As he drops his foot. And
for Milan?
Yeah.
Was it Crespo?
I might have been Crespo, and he just lifts it over Dudek, and I still can't work out how he do it. It's like that and the Balassi flick he did over Eriksson.
That's the best bit of skill that
I've seen live.
I think that's ever been done.
And I can see what he's doing. I just can't process it. And it's the same with that. That's what Dele's goal reminded me of. It's just natural. He just doesn't have to. You can't teach what he did.
Unbelievable plan. Just some of the other best away days that came into down Reddit. So Professor Chronic said the 4-4 at Arsenal. So there you go, Jay. Bangers from Bentley and Genius and a late equaliser from Lennon. Not a win, but it felt good. Steve O. Watts on Reddit. Stouteria Upton Park.
Oh, wow.
I would have given a lot of money to have been there for that.
What a goal.
What a game. What a game. Because that really was Spurs during that period.
But what happened? Yeah.
Well, we're 2-0 down at half time, aren't we? Noble scores a cracking half volley. It's like 19-year-old Mark Noble. Yeah. Tevez gets a free kick. Right on half time, you're thinking, we've had it here. Penalty early in the second half, which Defoe puts away. Brilliant celebration where he just glances at the Bobby Moore stand and do anything more than that. Just looks up at them. 2-2, Timu Taino, underrated player, whereas across from the right hand side, Lennon with a ridiculous sort of flick volley. It's really strange and puts it in the bottom corner. So you're thinking, okay, we've got out of it 2-2. 85 minutes, Bobby Zamora off the bench, 3-2 West Ham, and you're just thinking, that's it, all that good work in the second half's undone.
It's like 4 minutes of extra time and we're 95. And well, it's their corner.
No, because we equalised, didn't we, for 3-3 with Berbatov with a free kick, which is right on the edge of the box, literally as close as you can get.
And there's someone on the line.
Paul Konchesky's on the line.
He's a tall lad and he puts it in between his head and the bar,
which is just a ridiculous goal. And then, they have a corner and you're thinking, oh, here we go, it's going to be 4-3 West Ham. We break, and for some reason, our right back has made a run up the left wing to tap home the rebound. One of the strangest goals.
They were going to go down, weren't they, off the back of that? The commentary is about how they've just about saved their relegation hopes.
Yeah.
But it looked like we might have sent
Pardew. Injury time winner.
Not Pardew. What an away day. Kurbishley.
Kurbishley, sorry.
What an away day. Novocaine on Reddit says, Man City away 2016. We won 2-1. Ericsson with the 83rd minute in the away end. Players celebrating with the fans. Absolute scenes. The atmosphere throughout was next level. Poch stand behind to applaud the fans after. By far my best away experience. That was Lamella. Brilliant little shimmy. Plays the ball through.
What I was doing was my triathlon level one coaching that day. That was one of
good. Fun fact. Atty Guest on Reddit. Sheffield United in the Capital One Cup 2015.
What a day that must be. Because it was snowing. That's a really romantic vision in my
temperatures mind. Kept getting lower and lower with the snow just about to stand away. Going ahead with that early goal, only to be pegged back by a quick double from Che Adams. Who? And looking like 5 minutes of extra time until Ericsson latched onto a fantastic pass from Kane. So there we go.
That was amazing.
Combat Johnny, Real Madrid in Champions League when we drew.
Oh,
Abbas was at that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The 1-1.
Oh, yeah.
Drew's looking at the pitch, though. Pitch.
This is a good one. Dear Killer 2001. Arsenal this year was my 10th away game and the first one I've seen us win. Then I went to Goodison a few days later. So
Did he really?
A few days that is. 2-0 at Arsenal, 6-2 at Goodison. Fantastic. And then G Hoddle on Reddit, probably not the G Hoddle. Ooh. Millwall Way, Boxing Day 1977. You had to be there. Couldn't say anything else. And I haven't looked up the score because I don't want to. I just want my imagination to be. But that might have been the... I remember my old man said we beat them 4-0 and 5-0 or something like that in back-to-back years, so maybe it might have been that.
I imagine it's got nothing to do with what happened on the pitch.
0-0, killed someone.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And made some great experiences there for people. I mean, you can't beat an away day, can you? No. It's just... There's
proper fun.
There's nothing like it. Couple of games to talk about.
Yeah.
Starting with Cardiff, which we were saying feels like months
ago.
Feels
like ages ago.
When was it?
I couldn't tell you. It's only, a few days ago. It was Tuesday. Less than a week ago. It was New Year's Day.
It was New Year's Day, yeah.
Six days ago.
We were talking about doing a... Yeah.
New Year's Day.
Because it was only 6 days ago.
Going into that, and we previewed it the podcast before, and we were saying that it's probably going to be quite a tough game. And Neil Warnock's sides, they're horrific, but they're not the easiest to play against. We had the 1-0 at Wembley early on in the season. It was a struggle.
Tight, yeah.
We just battered them. We absolutely battered them.
It was like the first time I thought we were... Like, you know, you get teams who are just... Champions League, right? We were talking about this at lunchtime, which you turned up half an hour late for, where we were talking about
some of us have got to work.
Yeah.
Work.
Where... Do you remember 2 years ago we were awful in the Champions League because there were clinical sides who tore us apart? That's what it felt like we were. We just, three shots, three goals, and we are just better than you.
I put the Kane goal in that as one of the funniest goals I've seen for a long time. It's not even a tackle.
and that's exactly what Cardiff deserved after Warnock's... Warnock just...
He's been given it, hasn't he?
Seemed to go for us in every press conference in the run-up to that game for about 2 weeks. He said Pochettino should go to United...
But you don't know
why. He was giving it the big end about us needing to stay at Wembley for the entire season. It was just all sorts. And I don't know why he was going for
it. Is there history between Warnock and Spurs? I don't know.
Cardiff and Spurs? Not really.
No. He's like you've got a secret Santa book of like manager psychological warfare.
Exactly.
And just thought he'd try it out and he just failed.
It must have been the wrath of Benitez one because it didn't exactly work.
The absolute quality of that Kane goal in the first 2 minutes was literally exactly what we needed. But then the other two goals were just...
The Ericsson one
is unreal.
I could watch that and repeat.
What a play. And I mean, he's on a great goal scoring run at the minute, Ericsson, because he hadn't scored at all in the league until the Burnley game.
Yeah.
And now he's got 5 in his last 6 or 4 and 5, whatever it is.
Yeah, he's unreal, that boy. What was the other one?
Fantastic play.
Son, oh yeah. He's good, that
guy. I mean, he's just a goal scoring machine, isn't he, at the minute? And the way he dug that out, because they were quite critical of the goalkeeping, but he hit it sort of before anybody realised, and it was in the back of it. And you know what? I was really impressed with the second half, which was boring. There was nothing really to talk. We just killed it. We were just like, that's it. We're not even going to bother.
If you ask me how I wanted that game to go, I don't want to 2-1 with the second goal in the 85th minute. I want 3 clinical goals and then to chill out and bore everyone to death. That's exactly what I wanted. That's what we delivered.
Yeah,
brilliant. Just kill it. Obviously, my hometown, there's a little bit of emotion, but like I don't feel... I've got
no identity. Unlucky 3-0.
Well, yeah, it's like... Like you know.
Are you not more Newport County than Cardiff?
I am now.
Yes.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
What an upset.
I actually got so emotional about that because like Newport. So Newport is like 20 minutes from where I used to live, and it's a proper dump. Like it's grim. Like it's proper. It's like the north of Wales.
Yeah.
Not as in it's the English north in Wales. It's awful. Like I imagine Middlesbrough is what it's like, or Beirut. You know. And to see that happen, because I love seeing those grounds where it's like 5 rows and then houses. You can literally
see
in the bedroom.
See people upstairs in their house watching the game. I love it. That's football, though.
I thought they'd run out of steam. They didn't, though. I mean, Leicester came back into that game clearly, and they would, and they did. But they just kept running.
I'd be furious if I was a Leicester fan. We were talking about this earlier, and I was saying, what are they, 8th or 9th in the league?
Yeah.
Why are they not prioritising the FA Cup and resting players in the league for it? Because they're not going to go down.
They're not going to go down.
A lot of money where you finish, but...
They're not going to get top four.
No.
Just go for it. This is your chance for Wembley. So,
Now, what's their motivation now for the rest of the season?
Exactly.
That's pretty depressing, isn't it? Yeah. But I just love the early rounds of the FA Cup. When I watched some of the Woking Watford game, the Woking left back's an accountant. And it's like, I love it. I absolutely love it. And they're just working normal 9-to-5 jobs in the week.
The assistant manager of Woking, Martin Tyler.
Is that?
The Sky Sports commentator.
I love that.
Is the assistant manager of Woking Town.
Not the Martin. Same Martin Tyler. Name.
No. Actually, Martin Tyler of Sky Sports Nissan Super Sunday commentator.
Is it not Renault Super Sunday anymore?
I don't know. They're all the same. But yeah, it's Martin Tyler.
But our performance in the FA Cup at Tranmere on the Friday, I mean.
That was pretty good, wasn't it? Well, they were good. They were good. What clearly happened there, they expended 90 minutes worth of energy in 40 minutes and they just ran out of steam. And if you look at the size of the units they had playing
McNulty and centre back. I mean, if Toby goes in January, we've got to be looking at him as an option. You know, mobile, good on the ball.
So
it wasn't even like a big... You look at him and you think anything that goes near him, he's going to clean it out. He wasn't even that type of defender, which was even stranger.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to get it down and play. It was very strange watching him.
So how many teams are in the FA Cup from the early stages? Just give it a random guess. This isn't the point, but have a guess. 737, right?
What?
Yeah, because it goes down. But the French Cup, how many teams are in the French Cup? 737 is a lot.
It's got to be more because that's
8,506. It's the biggest cup tournament. It's ridiculous.
That must literally go down to then if you're Sunday League in France, you play the very first.
Imagine that.
That's brilliant. But you know, but there's plenty of people that we all know that have played in the FA Cup at some stage. Yeah. Some have made it all the way through to first round proper. Yeah. I love that.
Cardiff, Gunnison. I was interested in seeing Gunnison. I've always had him in my head that he's interesting. Same with Sol Bamba, but they were awful. Junior Hoyler, I thought, could do something.
Sol Bamba is an absolute dreadful centre half.
See, I didn't think he was that bad.
Gave it some skills in the second half. Do you remember that move before they gave the ball away?
No.
Oh yeah, he did a bit of a flick and he
did a bit of a
step
turn.
I think
he's atrocious. There's a big thing about him because he's just a big unit.
He's a unit,
and you know, like
he's quite mobile.
He scores from the odd set piece, so it's sort of like, oh, what an animal we've got, and it's like, oh, he's terrible.
He's quite skillful as well.
I love it now when we come up against sides that have got that type of set off because you just know with that front four, we're going to absolutely kill them.
It's great if you're seventh and below, for like Leicester, if you're playing Okazaki, but if you're playing like a smart player, just tearing to shreds.
Yeah, but the Tranmere game, let's talk about that. First 35 minutes were tight. Not that they didn't create anything the whole game, but they had a good shape. We had a lot of the ball, we were going tight, so we were struggling to really sort of get through and penetrate their lines. But as soon as the Aurier goal went in, which was initially I thought it was one of the best goals I've ever seen, I couldn't believe it, and then I realised it was taking a pretty chunky deflection. As soon as it went 1-0, I was fine. Yeah. But even at 1-0, you're like, I was sat there at half time thinking, we need to get the second just to kill the game, which we did. Was it 47, 48 minutes? And from then on, it was just a massacre.
I was convinced we needed a third. It was, and by the time I by the time I said we need a third, we scored two more.
I'm the complete opposite, like genuinely the complete opposite. Because I'm a bit like, when you start the game and we play games like Sheffield United or Leeds, when we lost to them, you know, we drew 2-2 and then we lost the way they played. When they attack us, that's when we have problems. They did nothing, and even I said to him, this could, like, halfway through, before we'd even scored, this could be a cricket score, because you know they've got nothing when they've got energy, and suddenly it's all going to fall apart, and they were awful.
I find it strange when teams approach games like that.
Because what's the best that can happen?
But you have to have... I'm all for, you know, the level that they're at versus us. They're not going to come out and press us. I'm all for that. Drop back, sit in your own half.
Yeah, great.
But,
which they did in the first half.
But you have to get up the pitch and, like, at least try and win throw-ins, win corners, free kicks. So you can put the ball in the box and make it 50-50s.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything. Like, they played a 4-4-2-ish. I know that one of their strikers was dropping in. But when they did win the ball back... there was no...
That's what I'm talking
no
about.
No one ran the line. Like, you just think, try and get your team up the pitch a little bit.
That's what
just,
I'm talking about.
And it was literally like... it must have been for their defenders. They win it back. And like, it must have been like playing against the wall. Because literally kick the ball and it's come straight back 10 seconds later. Yeah. They were just... they didn't offer a great deal. But set pieces is just the big thing in those games, isn't it? You're like, if we can minimise that and not give free kicks away, it's very unlikely they're going to create anything in open play, which they didn't. Yeah. What did we think about Kane coming on? At the time, 6-0.
There was a lot of chat about it, wasn't there? Rodney Marsh.
Oh God. That lad. He's an idiot. The best thing you can do to sort out Twitter is just go on and block anything to do with TalkSport. And you know we shouldn't. Yeah. You know, they're just vile. It's awful.
I enjoyed it. I thought he thrives on game time. Mm. They're obviously not training at full intensity a lot right now, because they're using... and Pochettino has talked about that a lot. Talked about it in his book. They use they use matches to train at almost to train at full intensity. Mm. So I saw a bit of that. There is a widely held belief that he's on an appearance fee and goal bonus. And I don't doubt that, given that. And I do believe Pochettino when he said, "Well, look, he is arguably the biggest star we've developed in this country for years. Give them a look at him."
Yeah.
And I don't get all the cynicism. I don't get the, it's a risk, because someone's just, you know, someone chunky, one of their back three, Monte or
McNulty
might just put their legs through his knees.
I bet he was told to stay out of it. Just score if you can, but don't get involved.
Don't try and if anything 50-50, just dance out of it.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because at the time, when I saw we're 6-0 up and he's coming, and I was thinking, what are we doing? Why are we putting him on? That was my initial reaction. Yeah. But in hindsight, you know, obviously he's come on, he's scored. It's a good thing for the cup. It's a good thing for those Champions supporters. I thought it was a good decision. But then, if he had have come on and got injured, he would have been crucified, Pochettino, wouldn't he, for doing it? You'd have just said, why run the risk?
I think it's a mark of respect. I think it's a mark of respect. But I can see how, on the flip side, the detractors see it as a piss take. I do see it.
But then... I don't think it was a case of us putting him on to try and humiliate them.
No, not at all.
I didn't get that.
I think it's people looking for something to be offended that I'm on board with.
It's not Pochettino's style to do
Skip, that. Two assists, really good. Solid game.
Grew into the game.
Yeah.
Made a few very... touchy areas.
From Wellington City, my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
I think from having seen him 3 or 4 times now, he's not... although he got 2 assists in that game, I think he's a simple midfielder. He's a get it, shift it, two-touch, that kind of player. I don't think he's someone that's necessarily going to get you goals. He plays good passes through the lines, which he did against Burnley as well. Yeah. But I think he's one of those midfielders, a bit like a Michael Carrick, that keeps it ticking over and keeps that tempo and always looks forward.
I like him. He needs to be careful not to be Tom Carroll, where it's not adventurous, it's just a good recycling machine. He needs to be more like Harry Winks. Cutting people.
Harry Winks is much more incisive, isn't he? Started where Skip is, but just developed... He developed a little bit of a streak as well. He's got the capability to go a bit psycho. And he holds his own against everyone and anyone. Given his size, I think, is brilliant for Harry Winks. So I think Skip needs to channel more of that.
I like Harry Winks, but I actually don't think he's been great the last 3 or 4 months when he's played a lot more.
He's had a couple of bad games.
What I like about Skip is, and again, it's only a few games, so it's difficult. You know, this might be the best he ever plays, so it's difficult to really judge him. So you can't say, oh, he should be starting ahead of people, because he definitely shouldn't. But sometimes with Winks, I feel like he wants it too much.
Yeah.
So especially in those bigger games, like he's so pumped up that he makes stupid decisions or he gives the ball away, or and you just feel just simplicity quite a lot of the time in big games is what keeps things ticking over, keeps you the ball and wins stuff. I spoke about him earlier, but you look at someone like Michael Carrick and like he was brilliant in those big, just calming it down. That's the only thing I think Winks lacks. He's got the passing range, he's got the energy. I still feel like he can do damage further up the pitch. I'm not saying as a 10, but I think in games, especially where we play the diamond, if we can get him further up the pitch.
This is, I said on Twitter, I said he's the closest thing to Modric since Modric. His vision is unreal, the pre-assist. Someone came back at me, and fair point, he said, was I being stupid? Like, Modric had way more goals and assists. Now, Modric was not goals and assists at all. Modric had 13 goals, 15 assists in 127 games. Like, for an attacking midfielder, that just would not be good enough. Winks, I love Winks. Like, a properly one of my favourite players, love Winks. I love him. He stitches everything together. He does make mistakes.
But you know, but that's because he takes risks, and I don't mind that. You know, if he will try a 60-yard pass, and it might not come off, so I don't necessarily mind him taking risks. The only thing I think with him is, because him and Sissoko seem to work really well, where Winks is basically the pivot in that midfield, and Sissoko gets around him and helps him out. My only question mark is, when Dier comes back into the side, how is Winks going to adapt his game? Because Dier is essentially that pivot, and he's better at it. So how does Winks change his game slightly so that he can play alongside him? Because you wouldn't typically go with those two types of players. But he's done well, Winks, you know, given his real lack of experience, really, to have played as many games as he has recently and put in those levels. I think he's done fairly well.
He made his debut 2 years ago. Like, his debut was against West Ham at the lane.
He scored.
And he scored. Yeah. I didn't see it. So.
Who would we want in the next round?
I want Arsenal. QPR. For personal reasons.
Arsenal, keep you off personal reasons. Barnet at home, that'd be a nice easy one. All lowest ranked side.
Swansea, are they still in it?
Yeah, they won at Villa. Tell us what these personal reasons
are. A load of my mates are QPR fans and they know who they are.
I was hoping it was going to be something a bit darker than that.
We very rarely have interesting games against QPR. I remember a lot of 0-0s, 1-0s. Yeah. Like,
we lost there under Harry, didn't we?
We lost there under Harry and I was there.
Oh,
no, with that lot. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was there for the 0-0 where Sandra got injured and it was over. That was cold. Sorry.
That's fine. I don't know what your apologies are.
The draw is tonight, isn't it?
The draw is after Liverpool crash out to Wolves. Yeah.
It's when we finish recording this. They're just waiting.
Yeah, waiting to see who we want.
Tramier was superb.
Oh, brilliant. And, you know, biggest ever away win.
We haven't talked about Ioma and Marsh, and actually...
Who?
Timothy Ioma and George Marsh. And actually, George Marsh really impressed me.
You know what? He come on and one of the first things he did was just leave one on someone.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, I quite just, like that. Like, 7-0, like, chill
he's
out.
He's not huge, and he's obviously got a little bit of that bite.
Love that.
From reading some stuff on Twitter as well, obviously Skip has got in and looks to be probably better on the ball, not that we've really seen much of Marsh, but Marsh seems to be the one, from people that know a little bit more about the academy, that they're more excited for.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
About 15 minutes.
We have got 15 minutes. So,
transfer.
Do you want to do a quick one on transfers?
Quick transfer.
We're not going to sign anyone.
I don't think.
I think we'll sign someone. I genuinely do, because both of them have hinted that they want to bring someone in. So, I wouldn't be surprised to see someone come in.
Grealish.
Tell you what I love is that Gomez from Everton, the one on loan at Barcelona.
Oh, no.
I think he's decent.
Really?
I know you had to go at him. I think he's done well.
Andre Gomez.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay.
The one that you don't see much from on TV because he's always out of position. That's him, if you're not sure who he is.
He's in space.
He's injured a bit.
Going now.
Yeah.
I think he's smart. Or Loftus-Cheek, and I know people don't like him as well. I just think he's excellent.
I would take him tomorrow. But
what about?
not where about. You take, and there's not a club in the land that wouldn't take him, but the last people they'll sell him to.
Yeah. Or they'll just go 80 million.
They're doing for Hudson-Odoi, 40 million anyway.
Yeah.
Couple of games this week. Chelsea first, tomorrow night. Ivor, are you going?
No. I am now.
You are now?
Yeah.
We need to go three.
I'm going with someone that I normally go when we drink a bit. And we're both dry.
It'd be a head through the arms.
So no, it won't be that. But we'll just... We'll, the swearing... yeah. will make up for the drink.
Do you think we need to score three?
We need to score three, because yeah. Chelsea will react. Whatever happened, the second game is the one that worries me. But
I think the big thing for tomorrow night is clean sheet.
Yeah. yeah.
Because away goals do come into it. I'm not sure what the rules are, because it always used to be at the end of extra time away goals would come into yeah. it for the League Cup. So I don't know if they've changed that now. But we keep a clean sheet tomorrow, even, you know, even if we only won 1-0, that would still mean we'd have to
we can take them.
Lose quite badly there.
Yeah. What would be interesting for me is how they set up their midfield.
Yeah.
You know, how they
do they
how
go they, the same way?
Do they go the same way, and do they what's for the movement? You know, it was Ali's movement that got them out of position a lot, wasn't it? And we talked about this, didn't we?
Because
we
killed both, them.
Yeah,
he killed them.
Just
in that
annihilate
game.
Them.
Just stop Jorginho playing and cause all problems for their centre halves.
If Kante got yellow cards for everything that was yellow cards, he would be half the player he was. He gets away with so much, that player.
Yeah. Because he keeps his head down.
He's not mouthy.
Doesn't
either,
have
does
the air of cynicism, yeah. does he?
He's
doesn't.
Just a nice little African player who comes over with his handkerchief. His African heritage, which he plays up to.
Yeah. What are our predictions?
3-1.
Oh, another 3-1, that'd be
that
good.
That would just ruin them, wouldn't it?
I think it's going to be tough. 1-0 Spurs. I think it'll be a tight game.
Yeah. I actually think they'll score. I think they'll be all over us.
Pedro.
They owe it
to their
fans.
He always gets screams against us, Pedro.
I hate him.
I don't think Pedro will start, but I think they'll be all over us. They owe it to their fans. Mm.
Giroud's got a good record against us as well, wouldn't
they? I hate Giroud.
I quite like him. He just seems stupid. I like stupid footballers. He's played football all his life. He's been told he's good looking all his life, and that's all he is. Mm. I quite like that.
And then we've got
a good player.
We've got United at the weekend.
That's a massive
game. They're flying under Solskjaer.
Yeah, they're flying.
Granted, they haven't really played anyone. I'm there.
I'm there. You there?
I've got
Novotel.
Novotel.
I'm in China
for orange juice. Orange juice is at the Novotel on Wembley Way.
They're flying under Solskjaer. They've been scoring a lot of goals. They haven't really been tested yet. Not really.
No.
I hope they come to Wembley and play the same way they've been playing. Open.
We will batter them.
Yeah, I think we will batter them.
I don't think they will, though. And Pogba's iffy as well, isn't he?
Pogba, he's just been given a bit of a free rein.
No, but I think he's a bit iffy in terms of his fitness.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I know he's one Devard's opinion. He's a brilliant player, Pogba.
Oh, God, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant player. And he killed us in the game at Wembley in the cup loss, you know, when they beat us 2-1. He was sensational.
So if Dier and Dembele are back...
No, don't chuck him into that game.
I think I'd put Dier back in.
I wouldn't put Dembele in. Maybe.
I don't think we'll see Dembele again.
I think we will. I think that's all rumour. That is completely rumour.
He's now injury prone, and he's not reliable.
He'll turn up. You said this. I'm sure we said this about 8 months ago, towards the end of last season. Yeah, he's done,
and he went on a brilliant run.
Yeah, early this season, he was outstanding.
Oh. Yeah,
I don't think at the minute he'd get anywhere near the side. I don't think he'll change it massively. Dier might come in, but I think it'll be Winks and Sissoko for both games.
Do you really?
Yeah,
for tomorrow for sure. But I think he'll change it for Saturday.
It's going to be super interesting if Man United play with like that Martial and Lingard and someone else up front.
Lingard doesn't start.
Rashford, Lukaku. If they play three up front, I think we'll batter them.
What's your prediction then for United?
2-0, but I'd really. Strong, keeping them out.
I think we're really tight. 2-1, they'll definitely score.
I think there'll be goals. I could see like a 3-2. Yeah. Could see that kind
we're
always two goals in front, but we're not comfortable. Yeah. And it goes 2-1, then 3-1, then 3-2, and it's just sort of nervy hanging on. But two massive games this week. That'll be great.
Two massive games.
It's time for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are. Tottenham Hotspur.
It's good to see that you're enthusiastic for it. For anyone who doesn't know this feature, I will give you a game and I'll give you the date of that, and then I'll name about half of the starting 11 and you've got to try and work out the rest of those players.
Go on then.
So, the date of this game is Sunday the 1st of December 2013.
Oh, okay.
Sunday the 1st of December.
Who are we playing?
Tottenham 2, Manchester United 2 is the game.
Rooney scored.
He did.
I've got this.
Okay, well, no problem then.
This is the one where I was wearing the really stiff jeans. And I couldn't. So I just bought some new jeans and they're raw denim.
Random. So
raw denim is, you can't, raw denim is like, it's not washed and it's really expensive and whatever. I spent a stupid amount on those jeans, went for a piss, Robin Van Persie scored because I couldn't do the buttons up.
That's why he scored. If he'd been able to do it, it would never have been.
Because Van Persie scored to make it 1-0.
No, you'll think that's the Clint Dempsey game, the way we scored the last minute.
Is that this one?
This is Rooney. Rooney gets two in this game for United. He gets a penalty.
A Sancho score.
Let's do the team.
Okay, okay.
So in goal was Hugo. It's a 4-2-3-1 formation. So Hugo was in goal. Right back, Kyle Walker, who did score in this game.
Yeah.
First centre half is Michael Dawson.
Yeah.
Second centre half is a question mark.
Yeah.
And the left back is a question mark.
Yeah.
Midfield, so two holder midfielders. First one's Dembele.
Yeah.
The second one's a question mark.
Yeah. I think
Then right hand side of midfield is Lennon.
Yeah.
Left hand side of midfield is Chadley.
Yeah.
Then sort of playing as an attacking midfielder is a question mark.
Yeah.
And the striker is a question mark.
So Van der Vaart?
No.
No.
He'd gone.
Pienaar.
Eriksen.
No. Go through the ones you know. So you were talking about someone that scored.
Oh, Sandro, yeah.
So Sandro is one of the other midfielders. Yeah, yeah, so Sandro and Dembele.
At the back, it's Vertonghen and Rose.
Vertonghen is correct, but Vertonghen's at left back in this game.
Cabal?
Not Cabal.
Gallas.
Not Gallas.
Nelson.
Not Nelson. He's a forgettable defender. So Jan's playing left back. So you need the other centre.
Wasn't Carter Vickers?
Wasn't Carter Vickers, no. I don't know.
Basson.
No. So you need the striker and you need the
Defoe,
attacking Pav. Midfielder. Defoe came on in this game.
Pav?
Wasn't Pav.
Wasn't Keane Crouch?
No. AVB. Who's the plat front for AVB?
Pav.
Terrible.
Soldado.
There we go. Oh, Soldado was up top. So I need the centre half and I need the
Fazio.
Wasn't Fazio.
Oh, that is a good
shout.
Oh, no.
He was a flamboyant centre half who took a lot of risks.
Oh, Kirikes.
Vlad Kirikes. Vlad Kirikes.
Was it Paulinho?
Paulinho.
What was he doing? A dreadful side.
So that side was Loris in goal, Walker, Dawson, Kirikes and Vertonghen at the back four, Sandro and Dembele at midfield, then Lennon, Paulinho, Chadley and Soldado.
God, I love
that
socks.
Was that Sandro and Walker? Walker under the wall. And Sandro dinked it and then came back and smashed it. I think that's the game before QPR or around the QPR when Sandro got his injury and never returned.
It might have been because Loris gave a penalty away in the second half at 2-1.
Yeah,
he brought Welbeck down.
Yeah,
I remember that.
That's Hugo in a big game for you.
Yeah,
I think this game because Man United used to not get the normal away allocation. They didn't get the corner. They had the hole at the bottom of the south stand. So I was actually in the away end, but what was normally the away end in the south corner.
It was David Moyes. Man United.
His contract is coming to an end this year with Man United.
Still being paid off. It's good, unbelievable. Couple of questions that have come in. So one from Paul last week, which is, what is the craziest thing you've seen a Spurs player do at a game?
So I was thinking about this. I saw Ben White Asuakoto do a clearance, but kick it just as hard as he could out of the stadium. That was amazing.
I'm sure he wasn't just trying to play a ball up the line.
It was amazing. I saw Brad Friedel take a throw in. I've talked about that against Villa because they were just so deep. He could run out, take a minute. Defoe assisted someone once.
Have you seen the extract in from Crouchy's book?
I'm reading it at the moment.
On Benoit Asuakoto.
Amazing. His pre-match meal.
His pre-match meal.
Was what?
Bar of chocolate and a packet of crisps.
Oh, I love
and
that.
A fully sugared Coke. And it was the same every week. And he'd bring it in with the same as carrier bag.
I love that man.
But I understood about Ekotto that he wasn't into football. But apparently this is another level. As in, like, he didn't know who the players were from the other team.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he'd be saying, oh, like, who am I up against this week? And it's like, Cristiano Ronaldo, we're playing Man United. So, like... What do you mean?
So unbelievably
nonchalant. He's having a Twitter argument with someone, with Mbappe or something, isn't it?
Who? Asuakoto.
Yeah, you carry on talking.
The other question is always one that Stato tweeted in and said, if Jack, ASD and Jay are Kane, Ericsson and Son of the pod,
God.
Who is the Sissoko and why?
Of the pod?
Who's the Sissoko of the
someone
pod?
Someone who was a bit shit.
Initially completely written off and just became brilliant.
And it obviously can't be Abbas because he's still written off.
Yeah.
He hasn't made that recovery, so it can't be him.
I haven't known Van for long enough.
I love Van. It's a bit harsh, isn't it? We haven't got anyone who's... Maybe you.
But Jack is
the
Eric Dyer.
I've been included in the Kane Erickson and Sun
Jack
trio.
How has that happened?
Anyway.
Ashford Cotto. I don't know. It's really difficult because there's not that many of us anymore either.
We've got a reverse Sissoko, which is Holiday Dan, who was great.
Ashford Cotto, Mbappe tweeted about he wanted to honour his family roots when he was dining with Emmanuel Macron, and then Benoît Assoukoto said, "A lion that copies another lion becomes a monkey."
Brilliant. What a guy. Yeah. There you go, Benoît Assoukoto.
I think I'm going to give him a follow. I like this guy.
Banter.
So you're in the middle of the Crouchy biography.
I've just got onto the haircuts chapter.
Interesting.
Because I didn't know about this book. I thought it was going to be... So I read Michael Carrick's Over Christmas, which was literally a chronological book about his career. Yeah. I thought Crouch was going to be the same, but it's not at all. It's just him telling stories, basically, about his life in football.
Because he's written an earlier autobiography.
I haven't read
that. Crouch, he has. Yeah.
He has.
Do you see how he announced it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Just a picture of Abby going, like... What, you would obviously have four kids if you wanted.
Brilliant.
What a guy.
She does look incredible. That's not me perving. That's just an artistic commentary.
Artistic merit.
I am going to get that Crouchy biography. It sounds like perfect holiday reading.
It's definitely worth a read.
My fact before I have to leave. Only one team in the entire history of Eredivisie, the Dutch league, has won the competition without having red on their home kit, and that is DWS in 1964-65. DWS being obviously the Amsterdamsch football club Door Wilskracht Sterk. They're now in the sixth tier of amateur football nationally, so they have seen a massive fall from grace.
And did you have a non-footballing fact for us?
I did.
What was that this week?
As it goes.
This is a new feature, actually.
Tell you what I was thinking about the other day.
And before you tell the fact, we all need to congratulate Junior Salanga on his move to Bournemouth as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because that's amazing.
I've got nothing that's interesting at the moment. China's massive. I'm going to China this week. You don't realise how big China bloody is. I did have something interesting, but I've forgotten it, so don't. Let's move on.
Brilliant.
That went well.
Yeah. We'll make sure to keep that feature in every week.
Okay. Keep that in.
Jay, ASD, good to see you as always.
Yes, ma'am.
Whatever it's happens this week, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realized until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2! It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.